But he asked the Father to glorify his name. And he said he would. So Jesus goes on about talking about what he said to Nicodemus now a long time ago. It says he must be lifted up. And then the crowd starts figuring out, he's saying he's going to die, but then how can he be the Christ? Then on in the week when they have the Passover meal, Jesus gives it a new meaning, and he says, this is my body, and this is my blood. Remember these things. And so when the Jews were celebrating Passover, the big deliverance out of Egypt, and God would bring a people to himself, and he passed over them that they might come out. Jesus is accomplishing the bigger Passover, where that anyone who would believe in him could have eternal life and become part of God's family. But not everyone is sad on Friday. The religious leaders are happy because now the nuisance Jesus is dead. They get him, they try him at night for blasphemy in their own courts, and then they can't kill him, so they go to Pilate, and there they say that he's a king, and so Pilate, after a while, just gives up and say, you can kill this guy, I don't really care. But he gets his, nailed to the cross by the Romans for being a king, and it shouldn't be any king but Caesar. The Jews killed him because he committed blasphemy, because he said he was the Son of God. But Jesus, he dies as he said he would. I will lay my life down. No one can kill me. And he said, I would take it up again. He takes upon the sins of whoever would believe in him. And he takes on the wrath of God against sin. But the most of the people there, all their hope were lost. Because they had put their trust that Jesus would be the conquering king that would deliver them. But now he was dead. Jesus willingly goes to the cross for the glory of God and for his glory. As someone said, the cross is Jesus' glory. He is glorified by obeying God and glorifying the Father. As somebody said, it was not a plan B. It was a plan from the beginning to save a people to himself. God had a plan to do that. On the cross, Jesus gives up his spirit and says, is this finished? Must have been confusing. Because was it the finishedness of my hope and trust? What was going on? In a sense, it was finished and people are rejoicing, the ones who want Jesus dead. The rest of them are devastated, afraid and shocked. Now, the gospel readers knows that maybe there's not any reason to feel that way. Because we read what they wrote, but they forgot. At least three times Jesus directly says that he would die and rise again. But it's so veiled and nobody can see it. But Jesus understood his mission. He wasn't in doubt. Then when we go to Sunday morning, there's no parade and there's no rejoicing and praising. Now we're going to go and see the risen Savior. None of these people are expecting Jesus to be alive. And even when Jesus starts showing himself, it's very, very difficult for them to believe that he is alive. But the thing is that if we don't know the story, for anyone to say, well, I believe that this person rose, it would be difficult. So we, as we read through the slides, through Luke 24, if you have a hard time believing, then just join as we read, because you can see these people also have a hard time believing that Jesus has risen. Can you go to the slides of Luke? Oh yeah. If you need the sermon notes, you can just scan it, and it'll bring you to Google Docs. Or else we can go to there. So let's read from Luke. But on the first day of the week, early at dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but they went in and did not find the body of the Lord. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping in, he saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The next one. So then we skip a little bit in the story. Jesus is walking towards a village called Emmaus, and he goes into a conversation with these people who are distraught about what has been happening. And Jesus is just asking, what happened? And they say that they had hoped that Jesus would be the Messiah, but he was now dead. Now explaining to them, he says then, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to him all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." And then Jesus pretends to go on, but they say, no, come with us into this, and they're going to have a meal. And then after Jesus breaks the bread, all of a sudden they can see who Jesus is, and Jesus disappears. Then they say to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And they told them what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And then Jesus comes among them as well and stands among them, and then he says to them, and it's a strange situation, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubt arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy And while marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" Then they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus is it written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." So the disciples and the people that had gone with Jesus are having such a hard time, even when he reveals himself to them. And so we can see that the women have no expectation that Jesus is alive. They come with ointments to prepare his dead body. The angels reminds them about what Jesus had already told them many days, that Jesus will rise. The angels, I think, has a great comment, says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He has risen as he said he was." But they just can't grasp it. And even when the women bring word, they don't believe it. Like, they are probably drunk, or they're probably so sorrowful that they have seen something. It's hard to say that whether this is just how crushed they are. They don't want to believe again. They can't hope that this is true. And things are still veiled, and they can't remember all the things that Jesus has told them so many times. And so Jesus has to go wake them up, in a sense, and he starts talking to those guys on the road, and he rebukes them and say, "Oh, foolish ones, of hearts slow to believe. You know the scriptures, you know the prophets. This is what they talked about. They talked about the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise." And so Jesus is going in and he's explaining to them, and they still don't understand until he breaks the bread and their eyes are open to see who Jesus is. Then they kind of run or go right back to Jerusalem and tell people, and still at that point, people are, I think, slightly confused. But then Jesus himself stands among them, and he starts with, "Why are you still doubting? I can see that doubt is arising in your hearts. Why believe? It is me." At this point in time, Luke is saying, well, they're so overjoyed that it's hard now for them to believe. They are so, "He's here. It's true. Well, I can't believe it's true because people don't rise from the dead," except Jesus did rise Lazarus from the dead not long ago. But so it's so hard for them to even grasp on to what Jesus has done and what he's doing. So Jesus, in a way to try to prove that he's real, asks for a piece of boiled fish so that they can see he's not just a spirit. They are in the same room now, and Jesus is right there, and he says, "You can come and touch me. You can feel the holes in my hand. And you can feel that I am real, that I have really risen." These are, as I just mentioned, are also the people that saw that a person that had been dead 4 days, at least, Jesus rose. Jesus also said to them that he would lay his life down for them and take it up again. As it just said there, that they could repent and have forgiveness of sins. And not only them, but that now they become witnesses to all the nations that what Christ has done is available, and they can have forgiveness in Jesus' name. But they are asked to wait for the Holy Spirit. So the thing about this whole week, we saw on Sunday, everybody has their own expectations of Jesus. The first Sunday, entering in, everyone has their own expectations. Then Jesus doesn't fulfill any of them. And then willingly he goes on the cross and dies, as he has said he would. He would lay down his life for the sheep. The religious leaders are rejoicing. Every follower is shattered to pieces. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He, as he said in John, did everything that the Father asked him to do. He obeyed the Father, did everything he was told to do, and was glorified on the cross as he died for sin, as he took upon himself the wrath of God. And he said it was finished. Now there was no more to be done. But if Jesus would have stayed in the grave, there would not have been many people who would have been following him. So in Christ's resurrection, we see what Jesus said to the sisters, Mary and Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall, even though he die, he shall live. This was one of the verses that I was like, okay, well, how can we look at it and see, like, okay, what is the resurrection? Where are we in the resurrection? We have the picture in baptism of being dead to sin, dying on the cross with Jesus, and being raised up from the water to new life. And Peter, he writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So he's encouraging the believers, saying that God showed mercy on us, that we are able to be born again, be reborn, be resurrected. How? Through Christ's resurrection from the dead. So that we can see the importance of Jesus' life, all the things he obeyed God for, in his death, taking away sin, the wrath of God, conquering death, taking away the accusations of the enemy, declaring that it is finished. This is the perfect sacrifice that only Jesus could make. This was his glorification. In Christ's death, we can die. In his resurrection, we can believe and know that we can rise with Jesus as we believe in him. We can have repentance because of what Jesus has done. And we can become witnesses as the disciples of this, because it's good news for all the nations. We can be born again to a new creation, to never die again, but always be with Jesus. Jesus mastered death, as he said he would. He is the resurrection and the life. We see in Jesus' rising, his righteousness, his works. Oh, sorry. We, when we rise in Jesus, has Jesus' righteousness. We get his works. We are perfect in God's eyes because of Jesus' works And we can rise as Christ rise. We can be glorified in Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. He's also going to ascend and come back to make all things new. Now a little more of a question I haven't done much in John, but we'll do it today because it's an Easter celebration. What about you? Now, it was very hard for the disciples, even when they saw Jesus, to believe that he was alive. What does it mean for you that Jesus is alive, that he is risen? Do you believe that he is risen? Do you believe that you can actually have new life in Christ and be reborn to a new and living hope? Jesus stayed 40 days on earth. He had a new glorified body and he showed himself for those 40 days. Paul writes in Corinthians that one time there was 500 people present. So do you believe that Jesus has risen? And what difference does it make in your life? Some of you do believe this, I know. So what does it mean for us who have, for you who walk with Jesus a long time? Well, hopefully our joy is not so that we don't believe, but a joy is what in us creates hope and worship to Jesus. And so that's how why we have actually changed it a little bit, that we will now sing. So a way we can respond to Jesus' life, his death, and today his resurrection is that we can worship Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of God, who laid down his life for us, that we could have eternal life in him. We could be reconciled to God. God made Jesus sin who knew no sin, that we might, in his death and his resurrection, become the righteousness of God. So do you believe that Jesus is risen? And if you do, what does it mean for you this day? So we will sing it a little bit. I'll just pray for us, and as the music people can come up. So as we respond in worship together, what does it mean for you that Jesus is risen? And how are you encouraged by that? You might sit there and be like, I don't believe in Jesus, and I don't believe he's risen. Well, maybe just take this time to ask, Jesus, are you alive? Can I know you? And you can, you can just ask as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and your kindness and goodness towards us. Thank you for this time we can put our hope and faith in you, Jesus, and not in what we've done. Thank you that you're not dead, that you are alive. Thank you that you conquered Satan, sin, and death, and the wrath of God. Thank you made a way for us that we can be reconciled to you. Thank you we can praise you for who you are and worship you because you're so worthy. And you're so worthy to be glorified. I ask you to receive our worship. And I pray for anyone who doesn't know you, Jesus, that you would open up their eyes through this time we're together, that they can also be encouraged in who you are. Thank you for this time. Pray you would receive our worship as an offering, and may be for the glory of your name.